The Feast of Corpus Christi is a central feast in the Church's liturgical year. The words Corpus Christi mean body of Christ. We are celebrating today, we are honoring, we are worshipping the actual real presence of Christ in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion. This ancient feast day, and I say ancient, goes back to the 13th century. There was a Czechoslovakian priest called Father Peter from Prague. And he was having difficulties with the church's teaching concerning the real presence of Christ, the doctrine of transubstantiation. There were various opinions back then, as some still have today, concerning this dogma of our faith. And rather than let these difficulties become doubts, because there is a difference, as Blessed Cardinal Newman once taught, 1,000 difficulties don't make one doubt. Note the pun. So therefore he travelled from Prague to meet with the Pope in Rome, wanting clarification. On the way, he stopped at a place called Bolsena, where once Hannibal stopped with his elephants. And there, rising early one morning, for he had not lost his faith, but had tremendous devotion, said Mass in the chapel of St. Christina. And after the consecration, just before communion, when the priest breaks the host into three parts, called the Trifaxio Panis, he notices blood dripping from the broken host. The blood was falling from the host and staining the corporal, the cloth placed on the altar. In fact, the altar linen was now stained. He wept tears of joy, for Christ had worked a miracle to convince this man, this priest, of his real presence. The people gathered at Mass were also overwhelmed and gave much thanks to God. This miracle of the blood-stained altar linen became known far and wide. The Holy Father, who was then residing at Orvieto, about an hour's distance away, wanted to know more details. And when he heard all the facts, the blood-stained cloths were brought to him, and he too acknowledged the real presence of Christ and worshipped this great miracle, this sign from heaven, to convince us here on earth of Christ's sacramental presence in Holy Communion. He therefore wanted to institute a feast for the universal church to commemorate this occasion, and called upon theologians Bonaventure and Thomas Aquinas to write the hymns and the Mass parts. They did so duly. And Thomas Aquinas's extraordinary brilliance and simplicity of language won the day. His hymns, his Mass parts, are still being used today throughout the world in the Latin or the vernacular at benediction and on this solemn occasion. His words remind us of an unseen truth, a mystery hidden, veiled from our eyes, of Christ's real presence in this most precious sacrament. This sacrament is one of seven, and sacraments belong to what we call a covenant. I've underlined the word covenant in this weekend's readings. The word covenant, that might sound like convent but isn't, is an ancient biblical word meaning sacred bond. A sacred bond established in heaven to bind us on earth. Think of a rope, a big cord coming down, holding us one to the other. In the Old Testament or Old Covenants, there were five preparing us for Christ: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses and David, each one bigger and better, leading up to the ultimate covenant or sacred bond Christ would establish through his Son, Jesus Christ. This covenantal bond, which is now the new and everlasting, for there will shall never be another, and the bond that Christ established will endure forever, is made up of sacraments. As a rope is made up of strands, a covenant is made up of sacraments, or the ancient word for a sacrament is oaths. God swears an oath. In other words, gives us a promise. And there are seven oaths or covenants, seven sacraments or oaths in the one new and everlasting covenant. And they are the seven sacraments, which are there to bind us, keep us, preserve us, heal us, nourish us and help us to come closer to God in this life so we attain everlasting life. But of these seven sacraments, one is unique. Of these seven sacraments, grace is given through them, by means of them. But one stands out, and that's this sacrament we honour today, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. I say that because in each sacrament, grace is conveyed. But in this sacrament, the author of grace himself comes to us to feed our souls, to nourish our minds, to heal us and help us. No wonder then that the Church, in her wisdom, has wanted to protect and safeguard this extraordinary gift. As a bride protects her engagement ring with a claw to hold the gem, lest it be lost, lest it be damaged, so too the Church has instituted or set about three conditions to protect and safeguard this sacrament. I've put them on the bulletin. The first is that we be a Catholic, believing in the real presence. Secondly, that we prepare our soul by abstaining in our body from food and drink, except water, for 1 hour before communion. And thirdly, that we be in a state of grace, free of mortal sin, so that we might receive the author of grace, and therefore this communion be a holy communion to make us holier and closer to Christ. These are the three conditions to receive our Lord worthily. May we therefore on this feast renew our devotion to her, to him, and ask him to help us. As we were once fed with the flesh and blood of our mother hidden in the womb, we are now hidden from eternal life in this world, being fed by our Mother Church with flesh and blood from our Saviour, to prepare us each day in some way for that moment when we shall encounter him. Therefore, let us give thanks to him, and at the end of today's Mass, worship him in our procession, never ever doubting his real presence, but thanking him for this gift and asking him to help us live out our Holy Communion by being holier and more closer to Christ as we prepare ourselves for eternal life. Praise be Jesus Christ. Our Father.